Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we talk about on this show. We talk about some of the strategies, ideas, I share stories, and I tell some of the mistakes that I've made along the way, because ultimately I believe that teachers are so instrumental in empowering students with voice and choice and helping them to develop into those creative lifelong learners that we want them to be. And although we normally talk about creativity, I want to talk about something a little bit different. I want to get real here, and that makes it sound like I normally get pretend, and sometimes I would get pretend. I think pretend is awesome. I'm a huge fan of fantasy, but I want to talk about what it's really like for us right now in the midst of this time of teaching in the pandemic. And I'm going to tell you first that what I did is I reached out to my network of teachers. I talked to teachers that I'm friends with and some of the teachers that I've taught with in the past that I have all the respect for. I also shared this question, you know, how do you find renewal in the midst of this distance learning time? And I asked that question to my Facebook audience. And so, and if you don't follow my page, it's facebook.com/SpencerEducation. But really, I just wanted to kind of crowdsource this and gather this and see what other people thought about where they find renewal, because I know it's different for every single person. And I just want to tell you before you get started, I did this really goofy video that I put on YouTube. You can find it on the blog post that goes with this, where I basically said, you know, what would it be like if we did teaching from home more like teaching at school? And so I mentioned, for example, if you set off the fire alarm in your house, right, the smoke alarm when you burn popcorn, because you will burn popcorn at some time during the quarantine, or maybe that's just me, that you could just grab a clipboard and have people line up outside and pretend it's a fire drill. Or you could get walkie-talkies, and with your own kids, you could just interrupt them every 5 to 10 minutes while they're working or right when they're super focused on what they're learning and say, please excuse the interruption, but, and name some kid who's not even in your house and ask them to come to the office. But the point in making the video, as silly as it was just a reminder that we are not teaching in a normal space. We are teaching in a totally different space. And the reality is, teaching from home is vastly different from teaching in a physical school. On a more serious note, I know that many teachers are feeling uncertain right now. This is different and new and hard. This is not how any of us expected to finish the school year. We are all experiencing collective grief right now. Graduations have been canceled. Vacations with loved ones are on hold, not to mention those who are grieving serious, deeper losses and experiencing a ton of pain. We are all experiencing a mix of emotions. When I talk to teacher friends, some of them describe the nagging sense that they are not doing enough. Others describe feeling like a new teacher all over again. Still others are feeling like they just can't tell what's working and what's not working. And more than anything else, I just noticed that many teachers are feeling like they should have done something more, or they should have done something different. There are a lot of regrets. And yet, teachers have been amazing during this time. Without any preparation or training or additional compensation, teachers have mobilized and they've stepped up to make distance learning a reality for students. So today I want to focus on this question of how do we find renewal in the midst of this? Here are 7 different ideas. Number 1, redefine success. When we are in a physical classroom, we often get the opportunity to observe small victories. We have that moment where the whole class seems to be locked in and there's a calm hush as every student works on crafting their Genius Hour blogs. Or you have that Socratic seminar where students continue to surprise you with their thoughtfulness. Or there's that maker challenge where the whole class is abuzz with a shared excitement over a design challenge. But when you're teaching online, you don't get that. You miss those aha moments. And those moments are still happening, but you don't see them because they're happening off screen in a house rather than in your classroom. Distance learning often means we are removed from the visible evidence that what we're doing is working. It takes extra effort to read a room in a video conference. And that's especially true when students have their microphones muted. You don't get to see them laugh at a joke. You don't get to hear it. You have no idea when it's working. You don't get to see when they're fully engaged because you can't see all of them at the same time. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe it's possible to boost engagement in video conferences. I did a podcast recently about that. In fact, I was in a class meeting with students who had read the book Super Pizza, the book I wrote for kids during the quarantine time. And this teacher did a phenomenal job gathering questions and using the chat for participation and integrating student-created Kahoot games. It was awesome. And yet, as engaging as this was, and it was super engaging, it still took extra effort just to gauge the engagement because we weren't all together in a physical space. And that's the challenge that we all face. This is why it's important that we redefine success from what we see to what we can do. We can't always see the results of our actions. And it's also important that we redefine success as actions rather than results of actions. Right now, teaching is an experiment. None of us have any idea if it will work or not. And it's not that we're doing distance learning. This is emergency learning, and we're all doing our best. We need to remember that a failed experiment is still a success because we learned from it. It's a learning opportunity. If you tried something new with students, it may not have worked. The results of the actions might not be perfect. But then again, what did you model for your students? Courage? Creative risk-taking? A willingness to try something new? That's powerful. So you had a video conference where less than half of your students showed up. That's hard. Really hard. And I don't want to minimize that. But what you modeled for your students is that you're there for them at all times. And that you will show up for them even when they don't. And you will show up for them even when some of the adults in their world don't show up. Now that's a powerful message. Right now I see teachers who are doubting themselves. They're asking, am I still a good teacher? When students don't complete assignments or when an online lesson is less engaging than they had hoped. Many teachers are feeling like they knew what success looked like in person, but suddenly they feel like it's completely new again. And yet the answer to, am I still a good teacher, is a resounding yes. Yes, you are. Did you show up? Did you take a creative risk? Did you connect with students even when they were distant? If so, you're doing great. You are enough. Number two, recognize that you can't save the world. The last point was about redefining success, but this is the idea of refocusing on what we can and can't own. So it's not just what's successful or not successful, but it's what am I going to choose to own as a teacher? Now, teachers are selfless and want to do whatever it takes to help students succeed. But if we're not careful, this whatever it takes message can become dangerous to our own health and sustainability. We can't be superheroes saving the world. And while teachers are definitely heroic, we're not superheroes. We cannot save the world. This is why we need to recognize that there are factors outside of our control. This doesn't mean that we're making excuses. It means that we're recognizing reality. Some of our students are living in chaos and uncertainty. They're sharing devices with family, or they're facing Wi-Fi that's spotty at best. Others are watching their siblings because their parents are essential workers. Still others are facing trauma and challenges, and even some of them are facing abuse. As a teacher, you can't own that. You can fight for justice. You can build relationships, but you also have to recognize that there are factors that you simply can't control. At some point, you have to be able to say, I care deeply, but I cannot own that particular situation. At some point, this requires us also to say no to certain requests. I recognize that this isn't always easy in every environment. Some teachers are working in toxic schools and tough places. But even in a healthy culture, it can be way too hard to say no. A few years ago, I led a book discussion on one of my favorite books. It's called Rest. There's a link inside the podcast notes and inside the blog post that goes with this. But I love this book, Rest. It's about the power of doing less. When I ask fellow faculty members at my university what types of barriers get in the way of rest, they said things like fear of letting people down or the drive to make sure things are perfect. And at some point, we have to be willing to let go of what we can own. We have to be able to say, enough, I can't do more. And yet, there's this other reality in terms of doing more, that when we're rested, we're actually more productive. Which leads to my next point, point number three, make rest a priority. This is the idea that actually, in order to be more effective, to be more productive, you have to be intentional about rest. Now, there's fascinating research on this that some of the most productive people get 8 hours of sleep. They are people who don't work in a wild amount of hours. And it's because your brain needs breaks. And that when you stop working, your brain remains active. So it's not actually getting a break. Your body's getting a break, or your consciousness is getting a break. But that's where the synaptic connections are happening, and that leads to deeper divergent thinking. Now, this can be tricky. This can be a challenge. But this is why I think making rest a priority has to be a part of it. This is the idea of saying, I'm not going to work at all this weekend. I'm going to recharge. Or this is the idea of saying, I'm done with work no matter what at 6 o'clock, and I will not answer any emails after 6 or after 5 or after 4. And if people are upset about it, then I will send them over to my leadership and let the principal deal with this. Or I will say, I'm sorry, but that's just not the way it's going to be. I have a family as well, or I have a life as well, or I have friends as well, or whatever. The reality is you have to be able to say, nope, this is enough. I cannot be on call 24/7. And many of us are in a place where the distinction between work and home is blurry at best, right? In many cases, people are working at their kitchen tables, right? So setting up boundaries is one of the things that many of the teachers that I talked to on my Facebook group and in person said was incredibly effective for them. You've got to have boundaries, because if you don't, you will be saying yes to everything. So having boundaries and choosing rest. The fourth idea is to play. And this is the idea of just making play a reality when you recharge. So after you've set boundaries, after you've redefined success, after you own less, this is the idea of saying, I'm going to goof off. I'm going to play. And again, Alex Soojung Kim Pong shares four characteristics of deep play. It's mentally absorbing. It offers a new context. It offers clearer rewards and more user agency than traditional work. And it provides a connection to the player's past. And I have found this to be really true. I love playing Minecraft with my kids or playing in the batting cage in the backyard. And this, although it seems like an escape, this play is part of how I am finding renewal. It's how I'm remembering what matters in life. And I think that's really important that we do that, that we experience that play, that we find those connections, that we goof off a little bit. Number five, find a creative outlet. I shared this little warm-up where I said, choose one item, and my students had to choose an item that represents a healthy way that you're dealing with social isolation. And almost every one of them chose something creative. they grabbed their KitchenAid mixers, or they just described baking and sewing, and had a bobbin, something like that. It's used for sewing. Another student shared something from gardening. So cool to see what they shared from their own world. And the common theme was that creative work was a lifeline for students. And I think the same thing is true for teachers. Creative hobbies can seem almost frivolous compared to the real work of teaching, but these creative endeavors, no matter how new we are to the craft, can help us recharge our batteries. They can inspire new ideas. They can help us build empathy with students in their creative work. And in the end, that's how we will find renewal. Number six, connect with a community of other educators. Now, this is difficult in social isolation, because social isolation is, well, isolating. But this is the idea of saying, I'm going to reach out to other educators. I'm going to join Voxer and be part of a Voxer group where we talk through things and challenges all together. I'm going to join a private Facebook group, and we're going to commiserate about distance learning. I'm going to join a Twitter chat. I'm going to have a video conference with people that I know online and that I've met at conferences, or I'm going to video chat with some of my colleagues. And it can really be a source of renewal. It's almost like having a guild of fellow craftspeople that you follow and connect with. And I think that can be really powerful. And then finally, number seven is this idea of celebrating the small victory. There's a time and a place to grieve and to recognize that things aren't working out the way we'd hoped. And there's a danger in pushing positivity without recognizing the role of pain or the existence of injustice. But there's also value in celebrating the things that are working well in distance learning. There's value in saying, hey, we did a parade through our neighborhood and it was awesome. Or, you know what, we did a scavenger hunt on Zoom and it was pretty freaking cool. And this is the idea of saying, yes, we miss the physicality of the classroom. We miss the things that are hard. But let's talk about what's working. Let's talk about what's awesome. Let's talk about the things that we love about teaching, even in the midst of challenge. Let's talk about how cool it was to connect with students today. And I think that can help us find renewal. This isn't toxic positivity. This isn't denying how hard things are. But this is saying, I'm going to look for the positive and celebrate that. And when those small victories happen, I'm going to sit in those victories and love that and embrace that. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? Would you leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcast? I guess it's now called Apple Podcasts, but you get the idea. Again, thank you so much for doing the wonderful work that you're doing. Keep on doing that and go out and make something awesome.